I guess I was waiting for some music, and there it is. Good morning. This is the Morning Liberty program right here at RBN. I appreciate John Moore coming together with us today. John, in Atlanta this last weekend, there was a one Supreme Court that was held that had presentments there. They saw the preponderance of evidence, and I believe that orders may come shortly, in the next couple of weeks, so I'll be paying attention to that. Again, I appreciate you joining us today. The Gulf oil stream does demand our attention. Many of us have been preoccupied with other things like the shooting in Tucson and such.
Yes, sir. Well, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you fine.
Okay. The Gulf Stream has been at risk of slowing down, been at risk of stopping for some time. I first wrote about this in my paper published in January 2006, No Need for Panic, documenting that the scientists were warning us then that the Gulf Stream had lost 35% of its mass and velocity, estimating 5 to 20 years before it was shut down completely. In my 2008 DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, I issued a second warning that it was at risk of stopping in the future. And then in June of 2010, June 12th, to be specific, the Gulf Stream did in fact stop, according to Dr. Zangari, and according to the United States Navy website, which anybody can go there and look for themselves. If you go to my website, RJ, my article, The Gulf Stream Has Stopped, is right there on my website. Anybody can read it and go to the mainstream scientific sources, such as United States Naval website, which every 24 hours publishes a brand new map showing the temperatures of all the oceans of the planet, including the North Atlantic. So it's right there in living color for anybody to observe and make note of that the Gulf Stream has, in fact, stopped.
Now, would you go ahead and tell us those websites quickly?
Well, it's kind of a convoluted website, but here it is. This is
your own website.
Website. Well, it's not convoluted. My website is thelibertyman.com. Thelibertyman.com. Don't forget to put the in front of Liberty Man, Tango Hotel Echo, and you'll be there in a moment. The Navy's website is there in my article, and I was talking to my local mayor about this. And he said, John, I don't quite buy into this. And I said, well, Mr. Mayor, you know, the United States Navy is not exactly known to be party to tinfoil hat conspiracy theories. This is real science. We had a caller on one of my shows call in from England, and he said, is there any further verification of this? And our response was, sir, look outside. You know, you know, the Charles de Gaulle Airport about 4 weeks ago, RJ, was partly closed down in Paris because the snow load was about to collapse the roof.
I saw that. That was amazing.
It was. You know, you build a world-class, it's one of the largest airports on the planet. You build an airport like that, you bring in the top architectural firm and the top engineers, and if you have to engineer for a snow load, of course you do so. But if you're in a place like Key West, Florida, or Paris, why would you do such a thing? You know?
You know,
so they
John,
didn't. They did not
John,
engineer.
Go ahead. DiNardo was on my program just a couple of days ago, and we just touched on some of that evidence there. There's a place called Syracuse there in New England. They've got, I think, 113 inches of snow. And last year they had record snow. This year has beaten last year's record snows.
Already. Yeah, we're not even to the midway point in winter yet. You know, the first day of winter was only 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, and they're running out of, you know, budget for, you know,
Absolutely. Sending
those snow plows out there.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back. This is RBN.
At the twilight's last gleaming.
Every time I hear this song, you know, just amazing, grabs my heart. And I appreciate that it's a bumper, you know, tune for me in the mornings here. Thanks for tuning in. John Moore is joining us this hour right here at RBN. And John, when we take a look at BP, it wasn't that long ago, you know, we were all in an uproar because of what was going on there in the Gulf. And do you think that that, in fact, was the event that put a stop to the Gulf Stream and the collateral damage that has come since then?
Actually, there's scientific evidence to back up what you just said. There is a university-level science experiment, which apparently has been duplicated a number of times. They take a tank of water, fairly cool water, maybe 45, 50 degrees, about 8 by 8 feet and maybe 100 feet long. Then they inject much warmer water into it, maybe 20 degrees warmer. And this is salty water, by the way, the same salinity as the ocean. The warm water will move right through that tank from one end to the other. When you introduce oil into the tank, the thermal barrier between the colder water and the warmer water breaks down, and the warm water no longer moves through the cold water, but it starts mixing. Now, that's what we believe happened with the Gulf of Mexico. The salinity of the ocean is the engine that drove the Gulf Stream for all those, so many centuries, as long as mankind's been around observing it. The salinity's been reduced dramatically over the past 20 years by melting freshwater ice in Greenland and the Antarctic, reducing the mass and velocity of the Gulf Stream. So before the spring of 2010, the Gulf Stream was very fragile and very much at risk already. What the oil did was break down a very fragile and very much at risk Gulf Stream and cause it to stop. That's what happened on June 12th this past year.
Wow, it's just that simple. You know, you take a look at creation, right? If we take a look at life on Earth and, you know, the careful balance between, you know, how the moon goes around the Earth and how the Earth goes around the sun and all the planets in balance, and then the ecosystem on the Earth that has been in balance, right?
Right.
It was perfect. It was perfect. And somebody on purpose, I think, by design, did this to the Earth, and I don't think it can be repaired.
Well, that's the question everybody has. I have a flippant, not-so-funny answer to that. That's, we should park three aircraft carriers out in the Atlantic at anchor and have the screws fire up and see if they can get it going again. The real answer is from Dr. Zangari, the PhD scientist in Italy that we've been in contact with. Dr. Zangari works with a team of scientists in North America and Europe on the Gulf Stream exclusively. He says, in his opinion, it won't restart. That's Dr. Zangari. He's the scientist. I will defer to his opinion.
So if we got into the Gulf Ocean somehow and were able to take out the oil, right? If we could get, and I'm thinking, you take a look at the Corexit that was being sprayed by our own National Guard. That was being sprayed. The whole intention of spraying the Corexit is to have the oil, not to get rid of the oil, but to hide the oil.
Right. Make it sink to the bottom of the ocean is what it did, yes.
Which is a part of the problem.
Well, you're right. Dr. Zangari, of course, is aware of all the possibilities. Possibly we may be able to get the oil out. In his opinion, even knowing all those things, it can't be restarted.
You know, it's like taking a battery, right? A battery on your vehicle. And I remember living up in Alaska a while ago, and there are people now going through this in New England. I know what it's like to have temperatures at 30 below zero and 40 below zero up there. If you live in Alaska, everybody plugs their car in at night. Everybody has a heater for their engine.
Absolutely.
And if you don't plug your car in at night, you cannot start your vehicle. And so those of us in the lower 48, if we have a battery, for example, that is no longer good, then, you know, you can try to jump it as many times as you want, but it still won't work. And you're saying that the Gulf is just like that now, that it cannot be restarted?
It's broken and can't be fixed. That's according to the PhD scientist who spends his life studying these matters. Now, what another part of this is that these currents, they don't stop. They just start going other directions. So this warm water is still there, still going other places. Apparently, the part of the current that stays in the Gulf Stream called the loop current it is still there, and because of that, the Gulf of Mexico is sustaining much warmer temperatures than they've ever seen. Way too warm for much of the wildlife, the fish that would normally inhabit. You know, aquatic life can only tolerate a certain range of temperature, high and low. And they'll either move on or they'll die if the temperature gets either too high or too low.
You know, for me, it's just been very upsetting to see the fish die in the Gulf area. You know, and you realize that we can't go back. We can't go back. You know, what do we do now?
Well, here's the implication. Now, first of all, I'll give you a quote from Dr. Zangari. Dr. Zangari says, quote unquote, "The Gulf Stream is the pacemaker of the climate of the planet." Now, before I was introduced to Dr. Zangari, my opinion was pretty much what most people's were, that the Gulf Stream affected the East Coast, United States, United Kingdom, Western Europe, and Scandinavia. It turns out it affects the climate of the planet because of the following reason. It had a regulating effect on the jet stream, that 200-mile-an-hour wind that's 5 miles above the surface of the Earth. That regulator is now gone. And we were scratching our heads last summer, why is Moscow having the worst summer in 1,000 years? They've got weather records in Moscow going back to the year 1010. Not too many places have that, RJ, that I'm aware of.
There's now, a lot of value in those records.
There is. Now the same officials, the same scientists are saying Moscow will have the worst winter in 1,000 years. Extreme variations in temperature and precipitation all over the planet. It's the middle of summer right now in the southern hemisphere. Half of Australia is under 10 to 30 feet of water, and the other half is having the most severe drought since white men have been there. So Brazil is having severe drought. And if you want to see what this means, go to the Chicago Board of Trades and look at grain futures prices. The market is very smart, RJ, and you can't fool the market. The market knows that these grains are at risk. There's going to be dramatically reduced harvest, which is going to lead to dramatically increased prices on all grains. And, of course, a lot of farm animals consume grains also, so that will be across the board for that, for the farm animals and for the grains and the futures prices. In the Western world, in North America, United States, Canada, and Western Europe, this translates into higher prices, which means people will cut back on discretionary spending, going to professional sporting events, cable TV, going out to restaurants and movies, expensive vacations. In the third world, which is most of the world, it will mean malnutrition and the opportunistic diseases that prey on people who are malnourished, which, of course, will lead to death and misery. That's where we're headed, and we're headed there right now. And anybody who wants verification, go to Chicago Board of Trades and look at the futures prices for all these grains.
The last couple of days, we've been getting a whole lot of hoop and law about the market that has now gone over 12,000, right?
It was
the
up
Dow
there,
Jones,
yeah.
Industrial, and even Obama, you know, happy to accept the credit for that, and even suggestion, well, my word, there's your evidence the recession is over. And I'm thinking they've been trying to bring our attention to those statistics, and
it's,
I think, trying to have us ignore the rest of the facts.
Yes, sir, it's smoke and mirrors. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is just a very few stocks, and those of us paying attention know how for years, many years, that average has been is a manipulated, artificial thing, and it's a fool's game. Anybody involved in any way except a day trader is putting themselves at risk. The average stock is owned for 15 minutes. I have clients that are day traders. They start the day out in the morning, Monday through Friday. They own no stock. At 5 o'clock or the end of the trading day, they own no stock. And they're doing quite well because they know what they're doing. But the old
so they have now turned it into a science, this day trading activity goes on.
Yes, sir. The old paradigm of buying reliable stocks like Coca-Cola or whatever, that's all over. You know, that's finished. The smart money, as far as little guys, is doing the day trading thing, and it's not something to do unless you are really well educated in this craft and this profession. profession of day trading, you could end upside down real easy.
So some people have learned how important it is to get in and then get out.
Absolutely. But the point of this little rabbit trail we're going down is to say that the stock market being over, the Dow Jones Industrial Average being over 12,000 is a big so what.
It's about PR, and you're right. It's about so what. But when you take a look at Dow Jones, it represents many other things. For example, since Mena, Arkansas, the trail of blood that leads to Goldman Sachs and Wall Street. And there are people who understand now, and we didn't just a couple of decades ago, how these banks, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, have been involved in the laundering of drug money, that the CIA, in fact, has been able to fund their black operations because of their involvement in the trafficking of drugs.
Not just the CIA, but we can talk about that after the break.
And that money is also sent through the stock market.
Absolutely. Well, they got to take it somewhere.
This is RBN. We are back. Thanks for listening. Our phone number is 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. John Moore, many people at RBN are aware of you on the weekends. Some people during the week do not know who you are or your background. Could you quickly share some of that so we become acquainted a little more?
Okay, no problem. Well, as I frequently say, U.S. Military Intelligence School in 1967 took my pile of mush, 19-year-old brain, and made it into something useful. They made it into a research tool. After graduation, I did a tour of duty in Vietnam as an intelligence analyst with psychological warfare, where I flew 57 combat missions and did many, many things during that one-year tour. Came back, did a second one-year tour with U.S. Army Special Forces, where I was put on alert three times to invade the Middle East. Got out of the Army, got my degree as a legal assistant, and in the fall of 1973, I was recruited by the state of Missouri to become a homicide detective and criminal investigator, investigating my first homicide in the fall of 73. I've spent most of my adult life as a criminal investigator, finished up my most recent homicide investigation about a year ago, and I'm starting up a reactivating another cold case homicide, hopefully within the next few weeks, that I has been on hold. And in this case, I'm working to prove that the shooter did shoot his girlfriend, as opposed to being on the defense team, which is kind of a unusual thing for me, but I've done it before in the past. So I've been a radio talk show host since 1995. Ran for U.S. Congress in the Republican primary in the Dick Gebhardt's district in the 96th cycle. Been politically active a lot the past 20-something years, mostly in Second Amendment matters, but other related matters in what we loosely call the Patriot community. So I'm on Republic Broadcasting every Sunday from 3 to 5 Central, the Micro Effect Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and I co-host Dr. Deagle's show with him his third hour every Friday on Genesis.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and I'm doing a lot of guest appearances like yourself, RJ. This morning I'll be doing about 4 hours of continuous radio.
Wow, that's a lot of work. Is it okay if we allow some callers in here to ask
Absolutely.
Some questions?
Absolutely, let's do that.
Let's go to John in Tennessee. John, good morning. John in Tennessee, good morning. Are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
All right. Good morning, John. Long time since I've talked to you.
Yes, sir.
RJ, it's because of John's recommendation of a book that I am what and who I am, where I am now, and that's The Unseen Hand by Ralph Emerson. John, I've got a question for you concerning.
Yes, sir.
I'm noticing something really strange. The robins do not come back to Tennessee until the middle to end of March.
Okay.
And I'm seeing thousands of robins. They're here now. Do you think it's possible that what happened in the Gulf has something to do with the migratory habits of the birds and possibly with the death that we're seeing, the die-off?
Well, I don't see a connection between the two, John, and thank you. I'm going to talk about Ralph just a little bit, but I grew up as a child. We always looked forward to the robins returning in the spring, but for about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, the robins in my part of the world here in South Central Missouri, they simply don't migrate. They just stay here all year, and that has been taking place long before the British Petroleum oil spill.
Well, I've noticed, and I mean huge flocks, John. Yesterday, in my pickup truck, I actually hit about 5 of them because they would not move. They wouldn't fly. They're here way early.
Well, we are seeing different patterns in migratory habits in general. For example, these armadillos. I never saw an armadillo in the wild until about 10 years ago here in South Central Missouri. We call them illegal aliens, and they're migrating up here from Texas and Mexico and becoming quite a nuisance.
And they're in Tennessee also.
Yes, sir. But getting back to Ralph Epperson, I will be having Ralph as a guest on my Sunday show on Republic Broadcasting in a few weeks. I can't say when yet, but he's got a new DVD set out that I'm reviewing, and Ralph has been doing just a excellent body of work for many, many years. And the same book changed my life, John, The Unseen Hand by Ralph Epperson. Excellent book, wouldn't you say?
I would, and just because of you, Ralph has actually become a good friend. I mean,
outstanding.
Ralph and we talk frequently.
Outstanding.
So thanks again for all
okay.
you and RJ. I appreciate you having him on.
Thank you. And I have always enjoyed John Moore and me coming together, and because he's so busy with all the other things that he does, that it's not an easy thing for him to do, to join other people and to do this. I'd love to go to our next caller, but I know we're just moments away from the next commercial break. I've heard from a couple of people who claim that, I'm just going to put this on the table, that there are, you know, beings from other planets that have technology where they may, in fact, be there in the Gulf working to repair the Gulf area.
Really?
And that Gulf Stream. And I'm thinking, you know, if such a thing were true, that would really be wonderful.
It would be.
We'll be right back. This is RBN. It is 33 minutes after. This is the Morning Liberty program. We're live here at RBN. Yesterday, John, I began doing 2 interviews a day here at RBN, and then with what is now known as the Republic for the United States. We're doing interviews now every day and posting them at the Republic website, and I didn't know I would do that. I already spend a lion's share of my day reviewing articles and evidence and posting them for morningliberty.com. So I'm very busy. I know what that's like. I certainly appreciate you taking some time to join us here this
Well, being morning. Busy is good, isn't it, RJ?
Oh, very much. Yeah, it would be nice if there was some pay involved in this.
Well, it takes away from my investigative work, but it's important stuff, and it needs to be done. The Gulf Stream stopping is the second most important story in 2,000 years. Obviously, the most important story being the birth of our Lord Jesus. This will change the planet. The Gulf Stream stopping will change the planet. Now, mainstream media
is probably the most important story that's also being ignored by the rest of the press.
Well, obviously and clearly, they're going so far as to talk about how the jet stream is screwed up. They're going that far, referring to it as basically an anomaly that will correct itself. Which, of course, it can't correct itself because the regulating factor that kept it in check and doing what we depended on for so many centuries is gone, the Gulf Stream. They came up with a new name. I don't have it here in front of me, a new name to describe the bizarre actions of the jet stream.
Well, see, it would be easy to connect the dots from the jet stream and how it has been impacted by the rest of this.
It would be. But way too many people paid attention in high school and college science that they would be, if they knew the Gulf Stream had stopped, they would know that we're in very deep trouble with no resolution.
Well, it's the very same like those people who were watching the State of the Union address by Obama. I didn't see him say anything new. You know, and there are many people whose take, you know, is, if Obama said it, then I believe it. He's the president after all. I believe him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My mother is that way when it comes to presidents and even Franklin Roosevelt. Try to tell somebody, our parents' generation, RJ, that Roosevelt knew about the attack on Pearl Harbor before it happened.
Wow.
See how far that goes, you know.
Show some respect. What's wrong with you?
Basically.
How dare you ask questions?
Yeah.
You should give some respect to this man. He's the president.
Exactly.
Don't you know?
I know. And
you know, you and me, we have seen the change in this country, and I'm thinking there's a huge need. I remember watching, you know, campuses like Berkeley, but many during the 60s, kids in high school who were very much opposed to the wars, right? The wars that were going on. And there have been generations here in this country that have been taught just to conform. Listen, there are leaders, just be quiet and do what they say. And that has been our grooming for decades and decades in this country. And recently we've started to learn, you know, to get wiser about these now are criminals back there in Congress and criminals in the White House. And I'm thinking it's probably a good thing we're waking up to the fact, but it may have been too late.
It may be too late. And the people waking up, as you suggest, RJ, is really no more than 1-2% of the adults would be very optimistic as to the people who are waking up to this. And that's by design also. The grip of mainstream media on the minds of people is very thorough and very complete, combined with the public school system not educating people to have the kind of cognitive reasoning and abilities that people need to be able to look at any issue with discernment and figure out what's really going on. And of course, on top of that, we have the sodium fluoride effects on people's brains and the hundreds of millions of psychotropic drug prescriptions that are written every year. Maybe not hundreds of millions, but tens of millions.
This word sheeple, okay, when somebody says sheeple, it kind of like flies in the face of all of that grooming where people, I mean, it is by design. And many Americans around us suffer from these very real aspects as far as their grooming, their training, how we have, you know, been lulled to sleep.
Absolutely. A friend of mine, he's now in the Missouri, he's a Missouri senator, a state senator. He was running a private Christian school in St. Louis, Missouri. And he told me years ago, he says, John, we spend the majority of our time attempting, emphasizing the word attempting to teach these children critical thinking skills. That's what's lacking. If you don't have critical thinking skills, you're absolutely hopelessly lost.
One of the things that I do with my kids, I let them know how important it is. You know, it's the job of the teacher to teach, but it's your job to learn. And you never know the kind of teacher that may be presented in front of you, but it's your job to learn. It's not a teacher's fault whether you learn or not. It's your responsibility to learn, regardless of whether you have a wonderful teacher or a not so wonderful teacher.
Well, teachers comes in all shapes, forms, and sizes. You know, I've learned from tow truck drivers. I've learned from common laborers, and I've learned from people with advanced degrees, and everybody in between. All kinds of people. Anybody can be a teacher and help you learn something that will be helpful for you in your life.
And there's huge education in getting out of the house and traveling and seeing things with your own eyes and learning things firsthand.
Absolutely. Learning how the world works, why it works, how the world's put together. These are all important skills and an important part of being alive. I have a client. I do private consultations for preparedness, RJ, a client in up back east in the Boston area. And he spent a year of his life in India, in a remote village of India, and almost the better part of a year of his life in a remote village in Africa. He knows firsthand what third world poverty is and how people make do with next to nothing, and how creative they can be to get by with next to nothing. Almost very few Americans have any idea what that means or how that works.
In my life, I've been doing that to some degree. And once in a while, I let RBN listeners know how much I need their help. I find that there's no way that the work that I do, that I can do it alone. In fact, my website, morningliberty.com, there is a contact button there, and my mailing address is there. And once in a while, I let my listeners know how important their support makes a difference for me. I could not do this without the assistance of people. I'm thinking if God puts it upon their heart, I'm always thankful, absolutely. And I know the work that you do, John, that you're not alone. There's no way you could do the work you do without assistance.
Well, that's true. To put up my new DVD, this number two of Global Warming, what the government isn't telling you, it required quite a team of people, my camera crew, editors, duplicators, and it's just the effort that goes into something like that is not all that apparent just by looking at the shiny box that it comes in.
why don't you tell us how we could get a hold of this new DVD of yours?
Well, the new one, disc number two, is available for only $12, postage included. And I have a toll-free order line with fine young Americans, nobody in India, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. And the complete package of disc, the original disc and disc number two is $25 plus $3 shipping. And if you don't have disc number one, disc number two may not make all that much sense to you. Thousands and thousands of disc number one have gone out all over the planet.
One of the things that we face on a regular basis are people who don't see it, people who don't get it. And this kind of material is really significant because we get to share face-to-face your evidence and this truth that people need to know.
You know, what you're bringing up is important. I prepared this DVD the same way I would be preparing a trial notebook for a homicide case, which I've done many times. The lawyers who've seen my DVD, they recognize trial preparation when they see it. And I do present evidence, the same kind of evidence that could be presented in court in the form of verifiable evidence, books that are in the Library of Congress. My friend Tim Spencer, he's the only Navy veteran who's agreed to go public because he has a disability from being getting radiation poisoning on these submarines. And they can't take that away from him. These other veterans have a pension that could be compromised or taken away. So Tim Spencer appears with me on disc number two, going public. That's incredibly important. A lot of my information comes from my debriefing, Navy submarine briefing, veterans, about the classified briefings that they attended in the U.S. Navy about rising ocean levels and abrupt climate change. And the map on my DVD is from these briefings, and the Navy veterans graciously worked with me, three different veterans, to recreate the classified map the Navy's been showing these men since 1979, RJ. And it's very real. And these men were told, gentlemen, this will happen in your lifetimes, not your children's, not your grandchildren's. This will happen in your lifetime, and when you retire, you need to consider moving to either the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks or the border region of Wyoming and Montana, which is another known safe haven.
You know, the valley where I live is 6,000 feet above sea level, and I've kind of laughed at your, please don't mind my poking fun at you, I hope you get to laugh too, is there where you have chosen to hang your hat is about 1,000 feet above sea level.
Right.
And I have felt so content with where I live here in Eagle Valley, where the valley floor is about 6,000 feet above sea level. But I have seen a map recently, and I haven't seen this one before, where they show if all of the earth changes do take place as they think they may, where I live may be surrounded by water.
Oh, well, I think the map you're talking about purports to be a Navy map, which it's not. It looks more like Gordon Michael Scallion's map. There's more than 20 of these various maps done, mostly by psychics, posted on the internet that anybody can look at. The map on my DVD is a recreation of the U.S. Navy classified map that's been shown for 32 years now in these briefings. So I wouldn't get too concerned about that other map that you saw, RJ. I really wouldn't.
Well, see, I have this solid feeling that where I live is the largest valley, in fact, that's completely surrounded by mountains. One of the largest valleys on whole planet Earth. That is completely surrounded by mountains. It's safe in so many ways, and many people, as I visit with them, tell on a regular basis, God told me to come. I don't even know why I'm here, except I know God sent me. And it's like,
right.
Well, okay, another one of those.
Well, I don't know. I told you off the air the other day about my living in Tooele, Utah, for a month back. That was the summer of 1969. What are you, about 20 miles south of Tooele?
I'm about 3 hours south and east a little bit.
Okay. Okay, you're considerably another 100 miles south or so. So I know that territory. If you like a dry, sandy territory, it's certainly where you want to be. I was in a sandstorm there. The wind was blowing so hard and the sand was coming so hard, I had to walk backwards at about a 60-degree angle to hold myself up against the wind and the sand.
There in the Tooele Valley, there's a company or two, and they're taking nuclear damaged soil and processing it, as well as other nuclear pollution. And it's just amazing, for example, with the Utah Jazz, which have really been playing not so greatly recently, have even named their arena. It used to be the Delta Center. Now it's the Energy Solutions Center.
Really?
And they had another name before. In fact, many of us call it the Glow Dome.
Well, I don't know why that area ends up with all this toxic stuff. I mean, they've been a storage site for biological chemical weapons forever, it seems like, also down there.
Well, but once in a while they have a toxic spill, and there's a word they use, and I'm thinking, it just kind of evaporated. You know, that toxic spill, it's okay. It's all right. It just kind of dissipated into the air. It's all right. And I'm thinking, I'm not living in Tooele, buddy.
Well, there's been some massive sheep kills up there from them spills.
Oh, yeah.
In years past, yeah.
And in the long run, it's already having effect on people's lives, but in this neck of the woods, there's a huge lid on that topic. Let's get to the phones. I know John from Texas has been waiting. John in Texas, good morning.
Good morning, RJ. Good morning, John.
Morning.
If I may, can I shift gears a little bit with a question for John?
Go ahead.
You've got about 2 minutes, John. Go ahead.
Recently I heard, that the ATF and that there's been significant rule changes to firearms, like example being the shotgun with a pistol grip is now going to be considered an illegal firearm. Have you heard any rumblings to this effect?
No, I have not, John. And anything like that, with the list and the people I associate with and the email list I'm on, that would be all I would know about that in no more than a day or two. And
yeah.
That is simply not the case. And ATF can't do something like that on their own. That would have to come from Congress anyway.
Okay, this is something I'd heard and I knew you would know.
Right.
The other comment I had, just a little piece of information, I used to be a commercial diver, RJ, and I still have some friends who are in that business. And some young men, and was chatting with one a few weeks ago, and as you were saying, and they're working in the Gulf of Mexico off Louisiana, and the stuff is on the bottom,
right?
And it's highly corrosive. It's eating up their equipment. It'll even take the glue out of the seams of their dry suits and wetsuits.
Oh, man.
And it's taking the chrome, it's pitting the chrome off on the helmets. And these guys are getting really worried about it.
I should.
You know, obviously being down in it. But it's extending through the water column with the heavier masses being like a layer on the bottom that can be anywhere from waist deep to over their head.
Really?
And, of course, when this stuff settles into the bottom, you know, it's affecting the very source of the food chain.
Absolutely.
John in Texas, hang on, and John Moore will be right back. This is the Morning Liberty Program at RBN. We have about 4 minutes left. John in Texas, anything else quickly?
No, I'll let you know so you guys can wrap.
Hey, appreciate the call. This new DVD that John Moore has been talking about is just so important, and there's evidence that apparently the rest of America is ignoring, and I'm thinking very quickly we will not be able to ignore this anymore. You take a look at the snow that is pounding New England. They can't ignore this stuff, John.
No, they can't. In fact, that storm in Boston and New York City 4 or 5 weeks ago, it had all the characteristics of a hurricane. And, we're gonna see more of these. There's gonna be more storms, more violent storms, it's just gonna keep coming and coming and coming.
This wobble of the earth is something that John DiNardo was bringing up the other day as well. He also brought up the fact that there are many branches of government who are already bugging out of DC, that they anticipate the oceans to, rise, that may in fact wash out many of the cities where people, you know, it's gotta be pretty. I mean, when my father was in the Coast Guard and we were living in San Francisco, we were near the beach and it was very beautiful. I miss the ocean sometimes.
Well, of course it is beautiful and all those things, but, reality is reality. These, waters are coming up and they're coming up right now. And if you don't get out of the way, they're going to hit you. They're going to hurt you.
You see, many of us are laughing at Al Gore and his assertion of global warming.
It's a cover story.
We are now seeing what's happening in New England, and I'm thinking we don't see a whole lot of global warming in Boston.
Well, hardly. It's Earth changes. It's coming. It's already here, and it will continue to get worse. And if you want the details, my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, you can get it at my website, thelibertyman.com. We'll give you the details as to what's happening, why it's happening, and how to protect yourself.
I feel a closeness to you in that, John. I know you're busy with your responsibilities, and I'm busy with mine. And liberty is such a big part of who you are and what you do. It's a big part of, I believe, who I am and what I do, and I appreciate the two of us coming together this morning. And I want to make sure that you want to write this down, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com, and his 800 number, as he has said, 1-800-592-9543. In my opinion, you'll need to get a couple of these DVDs, because you'll have people who will take them and say, well, I've had this happen, John. I've given your DVDs to other people, and I say, listen, make sure you get that back to me. And pretty soon, I forgot I borrowed it to somebody and loaned it to somebody, and it doesn't come back.
I know. I'm donating several copies to my local library today, by the way.
That's a great idea. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good. I'll be talking to you soon, RJ. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you very much. Pastor Manning is next. I'll be here tomorrow with Kathy Rubio. And we're looking at Jack Johnston. Last week he mentioned that we need to take a look at the kingdom of hell. Oh, wow. And I hope we get to do that tomorrow. There are so many roads, so many paths in front of us. And I hope that you are praying every day for this country. And I absolutely am a firm believer. America now needs founding fathers and founding mothers right now. I'll see you tomorrow. This is RBN.